This is Sound the Shofar on Warn Radio. It is Shabbat and time for fellowship, the Word of God and rest. Join us now as we enter into Sound the Shofar on the Watchman Alert Radio Network. You could make it.
Greetings and welcome to Sound the Shofar with the Watchman in Tower. Tonight on the show, No Greater Love, Part 5, Fountain Opened. In the end of days, Israel will find that a fountain has opened in the house of Jesse. Stay tuned for more on this later. It is Friday, the 15th day of September, 2017. And we are glad you joined us. I am Tower, and this is Warn Radio, bringing you the truth of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. The readings in the Word this week are found in Deuteronomy chapter 29, starting at verse 10 through chapter 31, verse 30, Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6 through 55, verse 8, and chapter 61, verse 10 through chapter 63, verse 9. And the New Testament reading is found in John 16, verse 1 through chapter 19, verse 42. The recommended reading this week is Christian Living in These End Times and Seasons. It's especially perilous in these times and seasons. For many, the pursuit to know just what lay ahead is paramount. Yet the Lord was very clear on certain matters which lay in the Father's own power. Also, prophecy, the feasts, and the Word of God all combined to bring you shadows of things to come. It is here that we can follow and understand the mysterious biblical events which approach. We have seen this in action from the 2014 to 2015 double blood moons. Then we saw the great American summer eclipse, and there is more to come. Today we look at these things and review the book for things to come and that which we have seen already. Also check out Fall Feasts, Yom Kippur, Trumpets and Tabernacles. Prophetic Enduring a Shadow. This is the Fall Feasts. The Fall Feasts are upon us. These feasts are a shadow of things to come. Yom Kippur is fulfilled by our Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua. For he is the high priest after the order of Melchizedek. It was here that the Father gave his only begotten Son, so that he, Jesus, would become the Lamb, which taketh away the sins of the world, and thus fulfilling Passover. In his redemptive role on the cross, he fulfilled the spring feast. In the fall, we look for his coming, trumpets, as it is also called, or Rosh Hashanah by many. Today celebrates the heralding of blowing of trumpets. The trumpet will signal the coming of the Lord at the last trump. You can go to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com to read the featured post this week. Follow the Watchman and Warn Radio on Facebook, Google Plus, LinkedIn, Vimeo, Blog Talk Radio, and on Twitter. Get the latest updates on the WIBR Warn Radio events, shows, and more. To follow us on Twitter, go to hashtag WatchmanIS216, hashtag Warn Radio, or hashtag WGS_Watchman. And to find out more information on following us, our podcast, or other items, go to our website at warn-usa.com, where we have extensive information on the sidebars of the blog. And now I welcome in the Watchman for Sound the Shofar. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm good. A little tongue-tied, but here we are. Bless the Lord.
Yeah, we are here, and it's been, yesterday it started raining, and during last night's show it was raining, and all last night and today. And I was beginning to think that Hurricane Irma, its waters had, you know, its rain had come this way, but this actually came down from Canada.
Well, I was wondering about that myself.
Well, you know, they said that it's coming down, and I haven't listened that close to figure out, you know, maybe this came up from the Gulf, I mean, up from, the Gulf of Mexico, or one of them things down there, and then the thing from Canada's coming in tomorrow night, because tomorrow night we drop a lot. Matter of fact, we're going to be getting snow in Wyoming. And, of course, for those of us, you know, we're not really ready for snow. You know, we know snow is coming, but, you know, we're still gardening, you know, we're still in the mood of summer, you know. I mean, we're not ready for snow, but it's cold, it's getting cold. The heater came on today, but all in all, things are green, things are growing, and the snow, it's going to hit the high country, so we should get through this. It's going to get a tad above, it's going to be cold, you know.
But it'll warm up on Sunday.
Yeah, so, but some of them are, it's going to be snowy, a good amount of snow, and it's going to be freezing up in the higher elevations and stuff. But nonetheless, we're here, and we are broadcasting. You're listening to the WIBR Warren Radio. We're an end-time preaching, teaching, streaming agency. It streams through Spreaker and also through iHeartRadio. And, we have a lot of them because we put them out through our websites. We put out other podcasts that way. We are on iTunes through our website and stuff like that. Spreaker also has an iTunes. We've got an app out that's for the Android. We're going to get an app for the iPhone. And we're doing all this because basically around the world, you know, most people can afford a smartphone, and they can't afford, a computer. But the smartphone, they can listen to, and you can download stuff, and you can listen. So we do get people, even now. We haven't been on Spreaker that long, but we've been here long enough to get people from a number of different places around the world. Now, our websites, we get them from around the world all the time. We've been doing this for 20 years or so, and we have got, virtually everybody, you know, if there's a nation on earth, they've been to our websites over the years. I mean, we've been that.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it is. So at any rate, we welcome you, and we also are taking this broadcast, and we are putting it in video format, high-definition video. So we actually have a video, and we have an audio of this. The audio, of course, goes out over Spreaker, and the video is going to be put on our Vimeo site and on our own websites. So we have over 1,000 videos over there of teachings and things about the end of days. Go over and check it at Vimeo, or go to our websites, and you can find the links. So at any rate, welcome everybody. Friday night is our Sound the Shofar. This, of course, begins our little jaunt into Shabbat and the rest of that,
You know what?
What?
I said this show was going to, or we're going to do part 5, but it's part 6 tonight.
Yeah, I changed that the minute I heard you say it. I had done both of them, but somehow I missed that one little thing there, so I put it all in there, and so when we get ready, you can read that down at the bottom where you normally do anyway, and it's all updated now.
Okay.
But no, you're not going nuts. I did that while you were. That's how quick our stuff changes.
Yeah, that's cool, huh?
Yeah, and we do use, we have a lot of modern technological tools, thanks to the Lord. And the one thing that we do have, of course, is we use Microsoft's Office. And when we update stuff, we can update it automatically from different computers. And it's automatically updated on the other end. It's really a great tool to have for us. It works great. I don't have to run back and push Tower off her computer so I can correct it. You know, before I do that, I got to send a copy of it over to the computer. But we're all connected. And so that's technology. But if you take away the electricity, they're just expensive toys that you can't use unless you try to make a Frisbee out of them. I mean, of course, our big one back here in back of me, it's a little more extensive. It's for design because I do produce all of our own graphics, do our website, so it's a little more extensive. But at any rate, enough of that. We hope the Lord is keeping you wherever you are. And, of course, if you don't get into Shabbat, well, don't worry about it. I have a lot of friends that don't get into Shabbat. I do, and we've been doing it for a lot of years. We have people that have been friends that keep Shabbat, and we have people that don't keep Shabbat. And where I graduated, and even the place where I was a youth pastor and pastor, they don't keep Shabbat. They kept Sunday. Now, the old question is can you go to church on a Sunday? Well, that's a dumb question. Of course you can. There's nothing that says you can't. But the original Shabbat is on Friday night to Saturday night. And that's really up to you. I don't get hung up over that. Just like I don't get hung up all the different denominations. I don't get hung up on the pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. And if you've listened to me for any length of time, you know it. You know, we preach the gospel. We stay loose in there, you know. I don't care whether you're a Jehovah's Witness. I don't care whether you're Catholic. I don't care whether you're Mormon. I don't care whether you're Baptist. I don't care whether you're Assembly of God. I preach the gospel. And I don't debate your doctrine. I just tell you, this is what you need to do to be saved. And whether you get saved, that's up to you. Whether you do that, that's up to you. I'm here to warn and exhort and teach and get the word out. It's up to you to make the decisions. I'm not here to twist your arm. I'm just here to preach. I'm not here to judge. The Word of God does the judging. So that's a summation. I am a watchman, and I just preface it or follow it by saying I'm a preacher, and I'm a holiness preacher. And I think this world is in the pit of sin, and it needs to be redeemed. And, well, at any rate, just listen to some of our stuff, and you'll know it. But we also want to ask you to be sure to like the segments. You know, when you get on our sites or any of our stuff that you see around, like them, pass them on, share them. We are on a lot of different social sites as well as our own websites. So share these things. Send them to your friends. Like them. Comment if you want to. And that's about it. And we thank you for it. And let's see, shout out, I guess, to those who are listening to us on iHeart and on Spreaker and on our from our own websites. And shout out to all those that go to our websites and listen to it and go to Vimeo and watch the videos. We've got a bunch of people on all those, too. So I'm saying hello to all you. We do pray for everybody that listens to the shows. Of course, not by name. We don't know y'all by name, but we do pray for all of you. There is quite a few we do know, and we do name, and we do that every day. And the show gets lifted up in prayer, and we believe in the power of prayer. We believe in a God that works miracles. So if you're having trouble, if you're really, you know, oppressed, then you hang with us. And if it's really bad, you get over to our website, sworn-usa.com, and send us a contact from there. Don't send us an email. I get tons of junk. And don't send me an email till you send me something off the website. And so then that way I can get you put in our thing if you want to send us an email. But, you know, I don't open up our emails. We have a number of emails, but especially with the latest breach. If you people, everybody has a credit rating, whether you like it or not, and Experian, they have these companies. And this is the crock tower, is that Experian and, these others have all of our information, and we didn't tell them they could have it. You know it?
Yeah.
And so all of our private information, all the private information that they have is on individuals, and it's been hacked over at Experian. And see, this is the crock of the way that they do things. You know, we didn't say that they could have that information. And, of course, even when they get wrong information about you, and I know people have had trouble with their credit report, it takes an act of Congress, well, probably worse than that. Congress is pretty bad. But at any rate, that was a massive breach. But they have a lot of accounts, Experian does, so I don't know, what was it?
$143 billion, I don't know, astronomical.
Yeah, I don't.
I hope that nobody gets hacked. I just hate that. I mean, I hope nobody gets violated. Wickedness is so
wicked.
Yeah. It's rampant. It's a plague.
Yeah, wickedness is so wicked. Go figure. You know, we needed to say it twice.
Oh, it's horrible.
Well, you know, 100, you think about it. You know, you get 100 million names. You know, dear God in heaven, you'd need a big computer and somebody, in order to sort it all out.
Yeah.
It's really a pain in the butt. And as it is, even with, think of this. How many of y'all get spam? You get stuff that comes in. You didn't give them your email, but they found your email anyway, and they fill up your spam box or your junk mail or whatever you call it. Maybe you don't have one. It just crowds out your regular email. But you think about it. That stuff finds you, and they didn't get it from a hacker. They just are able to get it to you because they've got these robots roaming around. See, in the beginning, in the very beginning of this, a lot of people would put their email on their websites. That was really beginning. This is, this goes back a long ways, pre-2000, pre-90s, somewhere around in the 80s, later part of the 80s, I think it was. Maybe it was 90. I'm trying to think exactly the time because I was using the first one of the very beginning of the operating systems that Microsoft had come out with. I was that early in this, and I had it made. It cost quite a bit to have it made at the time, and I was online when almost nobody was online. Just beginning then. So, at any rate, enough of that. What else is going on? Well, it's just a mess online. And, of course, Anthony Bourdain, I sent a couple of things out on Twitter, and one on Twitter.
Did anybody ever say anything?
Something on Facebook? No. No. Well, see, even if they do, I don't hang around on Twitter. I'm not a Twitter hang-arounder. I found out a long time ago, you don't try to banter with these people that live and die on Twitter because they're idiots. There's a lot. And you have to excuse me. There are people on Twitter that are idiots. They're morons. They're nuts. They don't even think straight. They think 140 characters, that's the length of their vocabulary. And life is not, and I wrote this in one of my articles, God didn't call you to hover around on Facebook and Twitter and all these other places. You got another life to live.
That's right.
But at any rate, so I sent it out, you know, Anthony Bourdain or any of these guys. There's a bunch of them. You know, Steven Spielberg is the same way. Steven Spielberg has been castigating Trump and, you know, and they not only castigate Trump, but they castigate the conservatives as well.
A lot of Hollywood.
Yeah, a lot of Hollywood does that. So, you know, I'm telling people, you boycott Hollywood, you boycott Spielberg, you boycott Anthony Bourdain and all his cooking shows and whatever he does. Whatever these people are doing, you boycott. Because these people don't ever shut up, and they out and out, like, you know, Bourdain said that he would, if he was called upon to feed the president, he would poison him, you know.
Yeah.
And, of course, knowing Bourdain, he is probably drunk when he said it, you know, because the guy likes to drink, and he freely admits he was a drug user and alcoholic. And go on the wrong path until he decided to write a book and got, and CNN got hold of him and sent him around the world. But, you know, so he's riding on the top of the world now and thinks that he can now just judge and throw his baloney around any way you want to. Well, he can, but I'm not going to watch him. And Spielberg, I don't care what he puts out, I'm not watching him either. And there's a whole bunch of them that we won't watch now. I mean, we don't have a TV, we don't go to movie shows, but I'm not going to watch them. I won't read anything. You know, Barbara Streisand, wonderful singer. I won't listen to her songs. I'll turn her off. She's come out and done the same thing as the others do. And all their Golden Globes and all their main award shows, they spend most of their time castigating Trump and conservatives. I'm not interested in living in the same world as you people. I'm not interested in living in the same country as you people. You know, I mean, you're the only ones that have a right to speak up. And as long as you get your way, you shut your mouth. But the minute somebody else comes along that you may not like, well, that's it, you know, and especially if conservatives stand up. You know, Christian, you need to boycott some of these people and be done with it.
Yeah. I seen something on one of the news shows today about this 11-year-old boy. He wrote a letter to the president when he was 10. He wanted to mow the lawn at the White House. So he's 11 now, and he got to mow the lawn. He said it was the most exciting day of his life. I thought that was cool, and he got to meet the president. The president walked beside him while he was mowing the lawn, and, you know, that's neat to see things like that. Good stories.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, and he was excited about mowing the lawn and wanting to work there. And he did a good job. And he sent President Trump a list of the things he was going to do, like weed eating, mowing the lawn and weed eating and whatever some of his other services were. So that was funny. I thought it was cute, and it was good. It was a neat story.
Well, you can bet that the liberal media didn't get a hold of that. If they did, it was by accident.
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately. Now, MSN, in the beginning, MSN, of course, Microsoft has MSN. And they've always had news pages and everything else. At the beginning of this, when Trump was first running, you couldn't even read MSN because it was the whole thing, whole page of news was nothing but liberal left-wing fodder mills, just repulsive. Matter of fact, I even disabled the app for a while because you couldn't even do it. Now, I look at it once in a while now because they've kind of gotten over their problem, but I don't use it much. I'll never use it much. Of course, if you're using Edge, they're the same one that does that, that comes up in Bing, comes up in Edge, so you automatically get the news if you want it. And it all comes from the same place. And Edge, I've been using Edge for quite a while, speaking of technology, and they've done a better job at it, but still, if you have problems, you're more than likely you'll find that Chrome still does a better job. But the problem with Chrome, according to a number of people that are tracking it, they say that Google tracks everything you do. And you know, when you really want to get down to it, it's all through cookies and stuff, and every website, everybody tracks everybody on the web.
Oh, I know. Wherever you go, they're going to track you.
And so if you buy something, if you go to Amazon or something and find something that you kind of like, the minute you get away from that and go to another website that has ads, an ad of that same thing will show up there.
Yeah.
I guarantee it.
All the time.
That's how quick these things are. And it's all done automatic. They're done by robots. It's just boom. You know, I go up and I buy a book or I order something, and for the next month, that's all I see is the same thing. Well, I've already got that. I don't need it. Well, we're helping you make a decision. Well, I've already made the decision. But at any rate, now you can change the ads. You can do some of that stuff, but you can't change them all. But, you know, the Internet is going to get to the point where they're really going to be able to crack down. It's going to be so controlled. You know, by the time the Dark One comes around, the Beast, you're not going to be able to do much of anything on it. You're going to have to operate from something like the Dark Web and be really good at what you do in order to get in and get out with whatever you're doing without getting tracked so much. But it's, you know, you're not going to be able to do anything without them knowing.
Nope.
You know, well, I see you bought two rolls of toilet paper the other day, you know, or whatever it was, you know. I mean, they know what you're doing, you know.
Yeah.
Well, you must be using too much toothpaste because you used to order it every so long and now you ordered it quicker. What's the matter? What are you doing? I mean, they know these things. It's a pain.
Yeah.
It's really a pain. And now everybody has up this little cookie policy. It drives you crazy. Well, you know, this site uses cookies, and one of the reasons they do is because the EU passed a bunch of that stuff. And then, of course, WordPress is used by a lot of people. I've been using WordPress for years when it wasn't this good. And then, of course, I also use Jetpack, which automatically incorporates some of the EU things. And the reason they do that is because your websites are international now. So you have to make sure that you're cooperating over in the EU. I mean, your website's in America, but if someone from the EU views it, then you're in trouble if you don't got everything straight. It's a pain, a royal pain.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing is, it's not simple. In the old days, you just put it up and that was it. Now, of course, you get all these lawyers and all the rest of them, and they have ways of making money. You know, they got to legislate and control and do everything. So at any rate, we're going to have to get going on this.
Okay. So tonight, No Greater Love Part 6. The new commandment to love. It is the example and the path has been, it is the example and the path has been shown to us. By this example, we found out the ultimate truth of Calvary. In part 6 of No Greater Love, there is the path to which we have been shown. In this path, which led to the redemption of our souls by the Lord Jesus Christ, it is his path, the one to the cross and to the ultimate sacrifice. And now back to you.
Thank
Watchmen.
You. Okay. We are talking about the ultimate path today. And, of course, we have been talking about No Greater Love, which really reflects what that path is, because the Lord so loved the Father, and the Father so loved the Son, and God so loved all of us that he sent his only begotten Son. And his Son died on the cross. He gave his life as a ransom for many. He did that willingly. He says so. We've covered this many, many times. You know, he told the Jews, you know, he said, you don't take my life, I give it. Nobody took it from him. He laid his life down. He said he had the power to lay his life down and to take it back again. And he had every intention, not only laying his life down, but getting back the glory that he had before he came to earth like he did. Now, actually, he did come to earth, you know, in his other form, as the Son of God. But when it came time for him to become flesh, totally flesh, as it were, through Mary, that's another story. Now, see, we were in John 10. And, of course, today, the Lord, you know, he does talk about taking up the cross. And while he doesn't call you to die on the cross for anybody's sins, if you die on the cross or if you die as a martyr, that's not going to save your soul. But there's a reward if you, you know, die and you love not your life unto death while you're working and serving for him. You lose your life for him. There is a reward there. When he says to take up your cross and follow me, and we talk about the cross, it doesn't mean that literally you're going to take a wooden cross and walk around the earth like people have done before. They can do that. That's fine. I'm not concerned about that. But the thing of it is that it's more than just a cross around your neck. It is a sacrifice. It's self-denial. It's putting the will of the Lord over yours, and it's abiding in him. And so we begin. We were in John 10 talking about, the Good Shepherd. And now we're in John 13. And, of course, it is here in verse 34. He says, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." Now, all the church, I would say, should know this. Absolutely, without equivocation. Yes, we are to love one another. What else is new, Watchman? Well, you see, that's the problem, is that we don't love one another as we should. We have Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Of course you don't know them. But many times, we do have doctrinal differences and other things that separate us. And, it's more important for us. We love our denomination, love our pastor and all of our people more than we love Christians from other denominations or whatever. You know, the Lord didn't say that. Now, see, of course, he was talking to his disciples as they was together in a group. And it's easy when you're in a group and you've been walking with the same group the whole time. The Lord, they followed him around. They camped together. They ate together. They got tired together. They got excited together. They went on boat rides together. They did everything together. And so he can say, love one another. Well, that's really relatively easy to do, really, because you're around each other. You get to know each other, and you develop that love. But the Lord is going beyond that, and we're talking about Christians. And today we've got so many denominations, we got so many divisions in the church, as it were, that really for us to really say, well, yeah, I love them all. We can say we love them all, but we don't know them all. But along comes tests. Yeah, and the Lord does this. He brings people around you that test your love quotient. And, of course, I know you've never had trouble with your love quotient, that everybody that comes near you, even your enemies, you just love them to death, don't you? Yeah, right. No, we don't. Admit it. You know it, and I know it. We want to, but sometimes our flesh gets in the way. But, see, we can love. And part of this is we don't blindly, love people when they're lawless and dangerous. We're talking about disciples of the Lord who are following the Lord. He says, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." And then he says, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another." So there's the issue here, is that the Lord had a lot of commandments. And he said, "If you love me," John 15, "you'll keep my commandments. By this, I know that you love me, that you'll keep my commandments." And that was the whole issue. And that is, if you love the Lord, you're going to do what he says. If my dad, when I was raised, if I truly loved him, I would do what he wanted me to do. And of course, as I got to be a teenager, there's the teenager years, so you kind of get rebellious, and yeah, you love him, but no, I don't want to do what you say, Dad. Oh, you're just, you know, I know better because I'm a teenager, and so there's that rebellion in there. You know, when we get into this, though, when we really get down to the nuts and bolts, you know, the world is rejecting this greater love idea that's been in the gospel and Christians have talked about. And 2 Thessalonians talks about that. Paul told them that the world would reject this love of the truth, which is what we're talking about now, this love, no greater love. Love, this love that we're talking about, is really the crux of what the gospel is. That, you know, yeah, we don't hate our enemies. We don't like what they do. We don't like wickedness, and we don't like what the wicked do. We won't accept it. And many times we detest the wickedness. There are some terrible wicked things. I don't love what these wicked people are doing. I detest it and hate it. That's what we should be doing. You're not going to love that. God doesn't love sin. He hates sin. But he loves us enough to where he sent his only begotten son, see? And as his followers, you know, if you have an enemy that all of a sudden, instead of being an enemy, he's hurting, and you see a chance that, well, if you approach him, he's not going to kill you because he's so hurt. Maybe by helping him, you're going to gain a friend and win him to the Lord. And of course, when you get in the Middle East and many of the areas where Christians today are being killed, you know, they've lived next to their now enemies, which are Muslims, or in India, next to the Hindus, you know, all their life, and they've gotten along okay. But now we see worldwide, in a lot of places, just unrelenting persecution. Now, you fast forward and you come on over here to America, you have a type of society now to where the church is kind of in the world and of the world. And we wind up as a type of Laodicean church or a Sardis church that appears to be alive but is actually dead. You know, and you have the churches that have all the appearances being alive, but you're Laodicean. You're actually rich and in need of nothing. That's what you see. You're rich and in need of nothing. You got everything. Your church is doing good. It's full of people. Your pastor is doing good. He looks nice. You know, everything's going along fine. But the Lord says, no, you're wretched, poor, blind, and naked, because you're not taking care of the important things. And one of the important thing is you've left your first love. And so, you know, when we get into this no greater love. Love is easy to say. It's only four letters, but it's hard to do. Now let's go into John 14 and verse 20. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him, reveal myself to him. And Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that you will manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Now see, this is very important for all the Christians in America, you know, Gentiles, you know, not Messianic Christians, but Gentiles, predominantly and a lot of times in America, that hate the word commandments, hate the word law. Now, you see, when Jesus, Yahshua, came, he didn't come up with his own version of things. Everything that the Father told him, he told us. And he said as much. He said, the words I speak, they're not mine. They're my Father's. And here he says, the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. And so he's just telling you that, and you can hear the Father telling his Son, you know, that as people begin to follow you, they need to keep your commandments, because if you truly love someone, you're going to do what they say. And, of course, this is the crux of the thing. And this is where we get hung up in the law. We get hung up in, well, you know, we're not supposed to be keeping all the commandments. Well, sure you are. You know, get in the New Testament, you look at it, and when you read it, apply it. Follow it. Now, of course, you get back in Leviticus, there's a whole bunch of things back there, and you get into the laws on the food. You know, and if you don't eat kosher, you're not going to go to hell. That's not the issue. The issue is, especially today, and I'm trying to think if when we talk about a kosher diet, you know, like the Jews eat, you know, now we're finding out that there's a lot of foods that were eaten and have been eaten we shouldn't be eating, and should have never started doing that. So now we begin to see even Gentiles that aren't even Christians are keeping diets like the paleo diet, the vegan diet, and many other types of diets that are actually worse as far as restrictions than the diet that you find in the koshers, in the kosher diet, which is Jewish, you know, which is actually, it's not Jewish, it's the Lord. The Lord's the one that set down the laws on that back in the Torah. So it's really kind of funny how we choke on, well, you know, he keeps a kosher. He eats that what a Jew does. Well, and then I go down the road and someone's on a paleo diet or something else. I mean, give me a break. You know, we're crazy in this country. But see, you have that back there for your health. That's what it's there for. And a lot of those things, that's exactly what it was. And, of course, the Lord hadn't come back then. And if you messed up keeping the law back in the Old Testament, you were up the creek. That was it. Of course, they did have a system of forgiveness there through the atoning. And the atonement was always intended to be through the blood. That's the law. And the atonement was the blood of animals. And the high priest, you know, on the Day of Atonement, would make an atonement for himself, for all the high priests, so they could stand in and for all of Israel. Now, see, you can't stand in, you know, as a high priest if you're full of sin. See, this is what, you know, many people don't understand. At least, why is it seems that way? Because how many times have I seen priests and pastors and other Christian leaders, they're in sin themselves where they're turning around trying to bring people to repentance and people to deliverance. That don't work. It don't even work at all. If you are a leader, a Christian leader, and you are doing things like adultery and fornication and stuff, and you're getting away with it, and you think that's okay, well, that may be fine in your little world. But when you stand before God, you're going to be found guilty, because God will have nothing to do with sin. And when we look at the law, when we look at the commandments, it tells us, it directs our feet as to saying, hey, you shouldn't be doing that. Now, if you don't believe this, you get into Galatians. And you read what Paul has to say on sowing to the flesh and sowing to the spirit. And you're going to find out that what Paul was doing is taking the law and putting it in something you can understand. And he says time and time again, I've told you, you know, I'm telling you, as I told you in times past, that those who do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. And so when we get into this and we get to talking about no greater love, there is no greater love than what Christ did. But for us as Christians, having accepted and walk in him, there is another issue here, and that is we are to keep what he says. And what he says, he didn't come up with his own separate line of commandments. He didn't come up with, you know, I'm going to depose the Father, and it's not what he says, it's what I say. No, everything he said, he got from the Father, and he gave to us. And what you heard him teach, what you heard him say, is exactly what the Father told him, and everything came from the Father. The Lord is not separated from the Father. Now, see, this is where even some Christians, and even Christian pastors who I've talked to, you know, they're bent on taking that relationship between the Father and the Son away, which if you take the Father and the Son and separate them, then you are Antichrist. That's exactly what Scripture says, and that's what you are. And I've run into Antichrist Christian preachers. And there are Antichrist so-called Christian organizations because they've thrown out the truth of the gospel. So in this day and age, in these end of days, you better be making sure who you're listening to, what you're listening to. And if your pastor is committing adultery and you're going up for prayer and he's laying hands on him, you better stay away from him and get out of there, because his problem is going to be your problem through the transference of spirits. See, because this is the way it works. God wants his people separated. He wants them loving one another and bringing deliverance. But you can't bring deliverance to nobody if you're out there with one foot dabbling in the pit of sin and the other foot playing mamby-pamby with who knows what all. And then in the third thing, you're up there in front of the congregation preaching to them, trying to get them straightened out. Well, straighten yourself out, as the Scripture says. You know, if you can't take care of your own household, then stay out of the house of God leadership. Get your house under control, and then you can go do it. Yay and amen. It's time to understand some issues here. And, of course, Judas Iscariot said, how is it that you will manifest yourself unto us and not unto the world? Well, there's one reason, one way, and it's not the only way. He didn't say this was the only way. See, when he was to leave, he said, I must go away because I'm going to send the Spirit to you, the Holy Spirit to you. We have the Holy Ghost now, the Spirit. He's not just a comforter, but he's a leader and a guider. You know, he convicts of sin or convinces you of sin. But in this little section, he's convincing Judas that the main part is keeping what he says. That's how he will manifest himself, because his words are spirit and they are life. And when you get into the word, you read the word, and you literally breathe the word, you speak the word, they are spirit and they are life. Now, you know, I have a bunch of good old books back here, and so does Tower. And they've got a lot of good authors. And, you know, those are good books and their words. You know, at the end of days, when we get in the new kingdom, those books are going to be gone. But the word of the Lord will endure forever. And the word that endures is the written word. It is spirit and in life. And it is purifying. It has the ability to redeem. It's a seed that will grow. And it will create in you life if you'll listen to it, if you'll allow it. And so, in fact, it will manifest itself in those who hear it. And if you keep his sayings, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You gain faith. It builds up in your soul. And then when the Lord starts talking about, you know, I am the vine, you are the branches, you have to abide in me. You can abide in him because you're in his word, you're keeping his word, you're seeking his face. Now, let's go to John 15. Now, see, this is the problem you have, if you consider it that, from John. Because he does remind you over and over again, as you're reading his book, his testimony, his witness, that you're to keep the word of the Lord. And here, he gets into verse 12, this is my commandment again, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now see, this is the example. How did he love us? And this is, he tells them, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Who's he talking about? Himself. He's going to lay down his life for his friends. And then he goes right into saying, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Now, if you look at those three verses, he said, this is my commandment, that you love one another. And the last phrase, as I have loved you. That is the key phrase in that verse. How does he love us? He goes in and he tells you how he loved you. Greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. And then again, the thought at the end of that, lay down his life for his friends. Who's his friends? He tells you in the next verse, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. So he's tying greater love, the fact that he's going to die on the cross for his sins, for the sins of men. It says in John 1, he went to his own, and his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to those who believe on his name. John 3 says you must be born again by the Spirit. And these are just a couple of the verses. But you see, as they become born again in him and start seeking him, see, he laid down his life for them to be able to do that. And so he set the example as love, and that's what verse 12 is talking about. You love one another as I have loved you. And he tells them that. But see, he then goes on to say, henceforth I call you not servants, for a servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I've called you friends. For all things I've heard of my Father I've made known unto you. And it's true, we do call ourselves, in many cases, servants of the Lord. But in fact, we are friends. And that's important. But the friendship is based on this. Now listen closely. He said it, not me. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Now the commandment that he's talking about here as well, the main one that he's referring to, is that you love one another. Now there's a lot of commandments he told them. But he's speaking about this. And see, it's not just like, well, you know, I'm going to walk into the church and suddenly become a Christian. No, it requires, well, I'm going to get baptized in water. That still ain't going to do it. Now, I know there's a lot of denominations, including the Catholic Church, that thinks that holy water is going to save you and get you everywhere which way but loose. But the faith is not in the water. The baptism of water is an ordinance. Salvation and redemption is not an ordinance. It's an experience. You just don't sprinkle a little water on somebody's head. Oh, goody, you know, and that's what the Methodist Church did to all their children. I know, I was raised a Methodist, and as a child, you know, that's what you did, you know. You know, we always used to call that dry cleaning. You know, when you sprinkled it with water, dry cleaning. No, if you want to baptize them, you dunk them under the water. Of course, you bring them back up. But see, why do you do that? Because it's a symbol of faith. Because you received him and you get baptized. And then, of course, they argue about whether it's going to be in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Am I going to dunk him in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? Or am I going to dunk him in the name of the Father, or just in the name of the Holy Ghost? Or am I going to dunk him in the name of Jesus? Oh, man, I've heard it all. And people sit around and they will fight about all this stuff. Christians, you know. And when we were going through Bible college, and eventually, you know, when we graduated and went out in the ministry, there were a lot of things that were different, but we'd get in there and we'd get in the Greek and we'd talk over things and sit around and we'd talk about them and discuss them and sometimes argue about, you know, one example that was real big at the time was the water that Jesus turned into wine, real wine. Was it alcohol? Well, there was a side that said, no, it couldn't have been alcohol. Why? Because alcohol, you know, in order to make wine, it's got a fermentation breakdown process, you know, and so they reasoned that that couldn't be. But, you know, I don't worry whether or not it was real. I know it was real wine. Well, how do I know? Well, because he was in the Middle East. It would have been foolish not to make good wine. I mean, they drink wine all the time. The Lord drank wine. See, and of course, the churches back then, I mean, if you drank, if you smoke, if you danced, of course, you're going to hell. Now, none of that has scriptural basis to it. Because God saves sinners. And then what he does is work in their lives and brings them along. And a lot of these things fall off of people, and they don't do it anymore. You know, I'm long past going down the checklist, you know. I mean, you couldn't do anything today anyway, you know. But at any rate, we're talking about no greater love. And see, the issues can get foggy here, especially in the denominational churches. And, of course, when you get in the Bible schools and you get in the seminaries and all the rest of this stuff, because we have these, or they're all man-made institutions. And, of course, some of the worst heresies come out of these kind of organizations. Now, let's go on a little bit in this. Verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it unto you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Now see, he didn't reemphasize that you're going to go and bring forth fruit. He emphasized that they were to love one another. And see, this is the point. You have not chosen me, but I've chosen you. Now, a lot of times we say, well, I found the Lord. You know, when you get born again, you know him, you have an experience. Well, I found the Lord. No, you didn't. He found you. He knew you all along. He brought you along. And you reached the point of that awareness, being born again by the Spirit. He was never lost. You were lost. And because now that awareness has been opened up in you and you've repented, you can see clearly now. Or you should be able to. And he says, I've chosen you and ordained you. You know, this is what you're going to do. I have determined for you. I have laid it out for you. You know, I purposed for you that you're going to bring forth fruit. And that fruit you bring forth is going to remain. And furthermore, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he's going to give it to you. Now, why would he do that? Because you're his disciple. Because you're doing what he says. Because you're bearing fruit. That fruit is remaining. And you love one another. Now, if you're backbiting and fighting and gossiping and making fun or whatever, you know, I mean, don't tell me it don't happen. That's a lie. You're dealing with the wrong guy here. I know this stuff. So does Tower. Get real. Some of the worst places for sin are in the church. Well, you know, the church is for sinners. Nope, it's not. Never was for sinners. Because the church is not the bricks. The church, ecclesia, is the called out ones. The called out ones are the ones that are born again and know the Lord. They're called out of the world, called out of the sin. And if you do sin, you have an advocate with the Father, 1 John 1:7 through 9, and he's faithful and just to forgive you. You can ask him to forgive you, and he will be faithful and just to forgive you. But we do not sow to the flesh. We do not walk in the flesh. And many times these churches use that as an excuse to sin. I got news for you. The churches that use an excuse and their people sin and they continue to tell themselves it's okay that they're not perfect and they continue to sin and continue to do these things, you're in trouble. God's going to deal in your life and he's going to work with you until you get it out. No, you're not going to go to hell right away. God is going to work in your life. You know, he has a way. You think you're stubborn? Well, see, God, in his magnificence, is tougher than your stubbornness. Now, of course, he's given you a choice, you know, to do what you will, your will, okay? We talk about will. But see, God knows how to break your will. And there comes cases, though, when that will persists, and the Lord will say, okay, if that's what you want. That's why the Lord said, I will choose your delusions and bring your own fears upon you, because when I called, you did not answer, speaking to Israel. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul told them, because they rejected the love of the truth, God's going to send them a lie. See, and this is where we're at in the end days. People are rejecting the Lord and have rejected the Lord. And God has not called his people to be in the world and of the world and walking like the world and smelling like the world and stinking like the world and everything else. He's called us out. We're still here, but we're not of the world. We're looking for a city as Abraham did, looking for a city whose foundations and whose builder and maker is God. We're looking, in other words, for the New Jerusalem. We're looking for the city of God. We're looking for the hope of Zion. We're looking for the Lord, for the Son of Almighty God, for the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the bright and morning star, he that was dead and alive forevermore, who has the keys of death and hell, the Almighty. This is who we're looking for. This is who we're waiting for. So we're not of the world, and the world hates us, and we see that today, killing Christians all over the world. And many of them don't even know all the truth, but they're still dying. And see, this is the thing. You may be in a Catholic church, Baptist church, or whatever, but when you have someone that hates the Lord, and they call you out and say, well, you know, you're a Christian, and you believe in Christ, right? You believe in Jesus. The Jesus, the one of the Bible? And that person says yes. Well, we're going to kill you unless you repent of that godlessness and come and become a Muslim and believe in Allah. See, that's what they did 2014, 2015. That's what they did during the Crusades. Yeah. And it's not just them. There's others, too. The Hindus are in on it. Of course, China gets mad at Christians. North Korea persecutes and kills them. I mean, they're killed by more than just Muslims. See, and then he says, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they've persecuted me, they will persecute you. And if they've kept my saying, they'll keep yours also. Now, you know what all this is in? This is in the section that you love one another. Isn't that funny that he put that in there? Now, see, we know for a fact in history, from persecution and things, that people turn on one another. And the Lord tells us in the Gospels that the enemies will be those of your own household. He says, beware of men, for they shall... they're going to take you up and they're going to deliver you into the hands of those that don't like you. You can't trust people when this thing goes down. And so he says, you love one another. If you're of me, the world's going to hate you. They're going to come after you. They're going to persecute you. But you need to love one another. Why? Because that love will be the bond among brothers and sisters in the Lord. Because you're going to need one another to be believing together, to be praying together, to be speaking faith together, to stand up and face the enemy. you are going to be that army that God has called in these last days. And he has not called the backslidden church in America to be that army. He has not called some of these big fancy churches that have all their bills paid, that are richer than ever, that pastors walk around looking like some corporate executive, you know, and has sold millions of books and is on every news show. That's not the glory of the Lord. That is the flesh. God has called you to take up that cross and follow him and keep his commandments and walk in his ways and love one another, because this thing, especially now, is going to come down one day. And when it does, it's going to be like a ton of bricks on everyone, and it's going to shake, and it's going to shake everything even more than it's shaken now. And you're going to need that love. So when we talk about no greater love, yeah, Christ gave us that example, but you're going to need a greater love to get you through this. And that greater love is Christ's love. That greater love is his Spirit of God. That greater love is his Father who is watching over you. That greater love is the fact that he has given his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. That greater love is little prayers that he's given you when he says, watch and pray always that you would be counted worthy to escape all these things that are going to come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Luke 21:34-36. Read that. He prayed for you. He said, Father, I pray thee that you would not take them out of the world, but deliver them from the evil. So that's another prayer you can pray. Father, deliver me and my family from the evil according to thy word which you have said. I believe, I receive, Father. Because you're going to need it. Because this thing, it's too easy. It's too easy to be convinced that everything's fine. That's what the Laodicean church did. We're rich. We got our bills paid. All of our parishioners are fine. All of our people. We're looking good. They go by the adage, gain is godliness. And Paul says, from such turn away. Because gain is not godliness. Mammon or money or gold and silver are idols of men. James speaks to the idols of the gold and the silver of the rich and others in the last days that they'll burn as fire. Read James chapter 5. See, now Christ could have become, you know, a millionaire in his own right if he'd have done it right. The devil told him as much. He says, I'll give you all this. All you got to do is worship me, Jesus. And Slewfoot's been doing the same thing with, and you see him. There's people around the world, and today, Tower and I were talking about an article of a major D.C. socialite, her and her husband, that were into Satanism, came out in a book. She admits it. She even called vexes on people that she believes actually caused the death of three people. See, Slewfoot doesn't change. He's a liar from the beginning. He's still a liar. He's a father of lies. And Christ defeated him absolutely and positively, thoroughly. And the church is not to fall in love with this thing. Christ can bless you. But see, we need to focus. We need to ask ourselves and re-examine it. We do not want to be the Laodicean. We do not want to be the Sardis. Because if we wind up on the wrath of God's side, then that greater love has done us no good. Because somewhere along the line we fell. And see, Christ, through his Spirit and his Word, if you will just simply follow him and keep it simple and look to him, you'll do fine. I remember before going into the ministry in our church, there were like 7 or 8 couples of us that went out of the church into the ministry. Our pastor was a great man, him and his wife. And we were in a church service one time and they were honoring him, and I stood up to speak, you know, and I can't remember what I said, but I'd told him before, and he said, you know, I put on my pants one leg at a time, just like you do, you know, and I have that picture of some guy jumping up in the air and able to put his pants on without doing that, you know, without one leg at a time, you know, in the air like Superman. You ever see those old movies of Clark Kent, you know, who went in the phone booth and came out Superman? Well, see, I'm not a Superman. I'm just a simple preacher by faith, he says. I put on my pants just one leg at a time. Well, out of his church, we weren't the only ones, but at that one time, there was about 8 of us. Couples. We all went into the ministry. And he told me, he said, there's a lot of preachers out there that never make it. And he says, there's a lot of preachers out there that there's no money for them. There's no, the churches don't have any money to give them. Now see, that's true. And in America, you know, there are those that work, and they work in their field because they love the Lord, and they don't get rich. They don't fill the pulpits up, and the people that they're ministering to, nobody wants to. I had a friend of mine, the Chaffins, who worked on the Indian reservation down here, several hours away. And he used to tell us all stories of the darkness and the supernatural things that would happen to him and his wife as they would drive on the Indian reservation. Well, being raised near the Indian reservation, I know very well what happens. It can be scary out there, but he was out there, Home Missions Church. See, this is the greater love. Christ had greater love. Now the question is, do you have greater love? And that's what Christ is getting to. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, do what I say. And he was making a specific point of not only doing what he said, but of in that context telling them to love one another. Yeah, he said a lot of things. And there's a lot of things that we need to be doing. But in this context, he said, if you love me, you're going to do what I say. And I'm saying that you need to love one another. I have set the example. And not only that, I've ordained you to bring forth fruit. That's your job. That's what you're going to do. If you love me and follow me, you're going to bring forth fruit, and that fruit's going to remain. Now, see, that's what that means. And many times we worry about, are we going to produce fruit? It's not your job to worry about producing fruit. It's your job to keep the faith, to read the Word, to pray, and to love. Do the things that He wants you to do, and you will produce fruit. Period. That's the way it works. You're not going to produce this in the flesh. It must be produced through the Spirit. The Spirit in you will produce it through you to affect those around you. These things I've commanded you, that you love one another. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me. If you were of the world would love his own. And the world does love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. And that's why we see in some areas Christians are scarce. Or they keep it quiet. Now there's a thing known as the day of the night, as a time of the night when no man can work. And in some areas today, Christians are there at a place when no man can work. They can't work. And I don't mean working for a job, but working for the Lord. They can't work like we do. They can't do what we do because they are in darkness. And see, they're in a world right now that is not theirs. They don't belong in it. They've been chosen out of it. And everybody around them is of this other world. And this other world loves them. And they hate the Christians. And we find that with the Hindus in India who hate the Christians and are persecuting them all the time. We find that in Pakistan with the Muslims who are in that world there and hate the Christians there, so much so that they kill them, they beat them up, throw them in the brick kilns, burn them to death. We see this in North Korea. We see it in China. We even see it beginning for some time in America. It's there. It's in your face. And if you don't see it, you're not looking. Now, see, the thing I like is that the work that Christ did is just that. It's work. It's completed. It's fulfilled. It's done. It's been established in heaven. It's successful. It's put down all principalities and powers. It has resurrected him from the dead by the power of God. He's the first of the fruits. He's the first fruits. Romans 5, 1 through 11. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we were talking about peace in our study yesterday on battle lines, because we're doing War of the Worlds, which is the fruit of the Spirit, and we were doing peace yesterday. Now today we're talking about love, no greater love. Well, see, love is also a fruit of the Spirit, but this greater love study talks about the establishment of that love and our responsibility in that love. Because we've been justified by faith, and now we have peace with God. Oh, that is so great. Your Father in heaven doesn't hate you. You're not on his wrathful side, let's put it that way. But God hates sin. And the soul that sins, it shall die. That's the law. And if you listen to a church that tells you the law is gone and it's no longer effective, that's a lie. Because redemption is here through Christ to save you from that part of the law. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Scripture says as well, the law says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if you have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that sin will bring forth death. And death, when it is finished, will destroy you at the second judgment. Let's call it the Great White Throne. The Great Judgment. So So now we've been justified by faith. And, of course, that's how we got into this discussion on love. And this Romans one goes on to say, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now see, in all of this, it's the access by faith, a place where we can stand, and it's a place that we call grace. Grace comes out of the mercy of God, and the tool of that grace. There's the utilization of the law of faith, and of course the atoning work, which fulfills that requirement in the law through the blood. The blood is the atonement for the sins. And so all that was accomplished on the cross. Verse 3 says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Now you see, tribulation and trouble is never easy. And there comes a time when you just get to the point, you say, I've had enough. And guess what? It continues. And so you say, you pray, Lord, I've had enough. I can't take it. And guess what? It keeps going. So then somewhere along the line, you end up just not praying that anymore because it's not doing any good and you're still going through it. God's going to bring you through. God is going to teach you. And sometimes that teaching, it is not fun. I know. It's not fun. But it's needful. And see, so if you go through tribulation, see, God isn't necessarily putting you through something. It's just that in the world you're going to have tribulation. Now, there's sometimes that tribulation comes because you're sinning and you're not right with God, and these things happen, so tribulation comes your way. But there is tribulation. And in the world we see tribulation. We see Christians getting killed in prison and things. Christians in America get in trouble. But that tribulation works patience. And see, patience is a very big thing in Revelation when we wait for the Lord. Because one of the scriptures says, here's the faith and patience of the saints. And this occurs during the time of the rise of the beast when he's making war against the saints. And they get thrown in prison for their faith. And he says, this is the faith and patience of the saints. We are required to have faith. We are required to have patience. And there's going to be tribulation. And it's just like today. There's Pastor Brunson and his wife Noreen, and they're not the only ones. There's a lot of Christians in Turkey today. Turkey, for a lot of years, didn't persecute their Christians. It wasn't a Sharia law specifically. It was open. Turkey has a lot of things going for it. But today, under Erdogan, they're cracking down. They're pushing towards the caliphate. And they've arrested hundreds and hundreds of Christians. It's been a year or two ago. Many of them are in prison. Many of them are facing detrimental charges. They'll never get out of jail. And some of them are pastors, like Pastor Brunson, who's been ministering there for, years. He's never gotten in trouble. He's just been ministering. But he's in trouble now. And see, when you go overseas, or if you're preaching, you're going to make enemies. So tribulation works patience. Patience, experience. You get experience and you begin to understand. And through that experience, you find out one thing. Well, God delivered me. That's what David came to the conclusion many times. The Lord had delivered him. And so you learn. God delivered me. And that's your experience, and because of that, you get hope. And it goes on to say, and hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Now that, my friends, is what every believer goes through, whether they understand it or not. Now we are going to be stopping there. I'll have to I'll begin at verse 6 of that. I'll recap that a little bit. But we've been discussing no greater love. And you can thank your Father in heaven for the no greater love. You can thank the Lord who died for you, that he came. Because if it weren't for that, we would have no hope at all. It's a hope that the world hates. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for those that hear this whenever they do. Bless them, Lord. Give them ears to hear. Lord, encourage them and strengthen them and bless them. In Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word. In Jesus' name. Okay, Tower.
Okay, I'm back. I think about some of the things we've gone through in our life, you know, the tribulations and stuff, and you look back and now you're out of it and you can see how God delivered you out, and that's our hope.
Yeah.
Whenever.
Yeah, because then when you go through it, you look back. Well, he delivered me there, he delivered me there, he delivered me there. He'll deliver me again.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So no greater love. Well, starting next week, we won't, let's see, I think we'll do one more of this one. But we are going to start doing all the teachings on the feast beginning next week. Because we're in the fall feast now, so we're going to be doing it. And Tower talked a little bit about that at the beginning of the show. And so at any rate, remember, you can find out more information about everything on Warren Radio. Just go to warren-usa.com. I also have a personal, it's a professional writer site that I have. It's called danaglensmith.com. A lot of Christian articles, in-depth stuff. And I have written a number of articles on other things, but I'm pretty much now, you know, I write on Christianity, Christian discipleship, prophecy, things like that, a lot of other things. You'll find them over on the websites. And so we are counting down, getting through this month. It just flies by.
Oh, amazingly how fast it goes.
You know it is. I mean, you know,
already the middle of the month.
You know, I've been saying this for years. And it's like I just started saying it, you know? How
maybe people
fast
get tired of it.
how fast time goes. I mean,
I know.
You know, it's like I just met you. But we've been married how many years now?
44.
Yeah.
It's a long time.
Well, we just got married yesterday and we were young kids
like
and yeah, just young punks running around, you know. We had our own ideas, things we wanted to do. Oh, dear God. Things do change. Folks, life is short. Serve the Lord.
Yep.
We got to go. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Shalom.
We love you. God bless you.
We thank you for joining us today on Warn Radio, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.